either by chance or luck, I happened to have been in New York in December the 7th when Pearl Harbor was bombed. I was still working at the Experimental Station of Wilmington, Delaware, and there was a chemical exhibition at the Exhibition Hall in New York. And all the technical people at the Experiment Station went to this exhibition to learn what was new in the world in chemistry. So I went up Friday, spent the night, and went to the exhibition Saturday. And Sunday morning, I was sitting in the cafe on Times Square, and it came across the lights. Pearl Harbor was bombed. That was, I forget, 10 or 11 o'clock our time in the morning. And I had a train reservations coming back from New York to Wilmington. But when I went to pick it up, it was all canceled. So the Army people had first rights. But luckily, they had space for me, and I got on into Wilmington, Delaware, where I was living at that time. And that was the war. We all knew that the world would be different after that. And they started blacking out cities on the coast so that the submarines couldn't shell.
Turn all the lights out.
Life was different after the war started. Normandy, I was trying to think of the name of the ship. While I was in New York, I went to see the Normandy. That was a French transport line of passengers. And it was sent to the United States to be converted to a troop ship. And during the conversion, they don't know whether it was someone careless with a torch that started burning or sabotage. There's a lot of Germans in the United States who were friendly and back Germans, Adolf Hitler. And don't know whether they sabotaged the vessel or not, but that was on fire. They were in the, that it burned and turned over on the side. And I went to the docks to see it while I was there. A very large vessel. And I don't think they ever got it going for the entire war.
I read recently that Oak Ridge, Tennessee, that when you killed a deer, that the deer had to be scanned for radioactivity. How do you feel about the effect that the plant in Oak Ridge had upon the environment? Or what of it do you know?
Now, I do not know too much about what happened after I left, and don't know much what was happening while I was there, in regard to contamination by radioactive materials. As far as the plant went, when we went to the gate, we exchanged badges. The badge that we accepted at the gate had a photographic material in it. And if we were checked each week, and if we were exposed to radiation enough to turn the photographic material inside black or a certain shade of black, then we would be asked to not enter the plant for a certain length of time. We were overexposed. Also, the material, and we were really careless with uranium-235. We carried around a little box. Metal box. It'd be a pound. That's equal to 2.5 energy of 2.5 million pounds of coal, and thought nothing of it. But I'm not even sure about the weights. I know we carried a box around. We loaded the charge inside the M, we call it. And I do know that a lot, and I've learned some of this later, that some of the material was dumped on the ground to later be contained and placed after the war. And I understand that was not done correctly. And that in the river, that's the Clinch River, there's places where you, that the silt at the bottom is contaminated. This is all just hearsay. And people who complain to the government wants to get cleaned up. But what can you do? You got a bottom of a river with pollution in it, or contamination of radioactive. Where can you put it?
Where's a safe place?
Where is a safe place?
There's not one.
Somebody says just dump it into the ocean, let it scatter. People even thought about shooting it off into space in rockets. I don't know. But that is a problem with all of these electric generating plants with atomic energy. What do you do with the waste? Right now, we're taking most of it in our country to keep other people from using making atomic bombs. But there's a limit to what we can take safely. I don't want to be living close to a storage dump. Nope. Nobody else. Where do you put it?
Can it be recycled?
I do not know. I don't know whether it can be recycled or what it can be done with. And the other process, which we did not discuss, was the heavy water process. That's the hydrogen bomb. So normally hydrogen H2, each element of hydrogen has one, but this came in after I left college, and I don't remember exactly the ratio of the heavy hydrogen to the regular hydrogen. I do not know that, but scattered in among the water, there's always some heavy water, and that's what they separate out to make the hydrogen bomb out of. We have a Savannah orange water. I've never been connected before.
You just being an extra hydrogen atom?
And that's what goes off. It goes down.
It turns into an isotope?
No, I think it turns into hydrogen. It goes from H2 down to deuterium down to just regular hydrogen. That's my understanding. I do not know for sure. All this came in after I left college. And I do not know.
Speaking of recycling, what was the first, not having to do anything with a bomb, but just recycling as it is now, as aluminum cans, cardboard. What's the first time you ever remember that being?
First time, well, we used to return Coca-Cola bottles to the Coca-Cola company for a penny. That's the first recycling I ever heard of. During the war, all toothpaste, shaving cream, was in a zinc tube. And zinc was in big supply, and the government asked everybody to save the tubes and turn them into the store when they bought a new one. And that was about it during the war. Of course, we had food rationed, gas was rationed. You had stamps, you could only buy so much meat, so many gallons of gas. I think it was 'cause if you had a wartime job with special permit, you only get 3 gallons a week or so of gas. So many, you could only get so many pounds of bacon, so many pounds of meat, so much sugar.
Everything had to be saved to make sure there was enough to support the cause.
Nobody fussed about it. We all fussed about it, but we realized it had to be done. And we were so much better off in the United States than we were in Europe.
What did you do after the war?
After the war, I went to work at Inca plant here and making synthetic fibers. And I am very lucky. I was just drifting along there in the technical branch of the plant, and a man named Francisco Matarazzo called my house from London, England, wanted to speak to me. And my wife told that I was at the plant. And she could give me that number. So he said, no, he gave me a number to call him in New York the next day at 9 o'clock. So the next day at 9 o'clock, I called him. And he talked to me through an interpreter. And he said that he had a plant in São Paulo, Brazil, making rayon, that would have to close unless he could improve it. There was two plants in South America and only enough orders for one. And wanted to know if I'd come to New York and talk to him. And at that time, I had a hunting trip planned to Colorado, elk hunting. And I told him I couldn't go, because I had this plant and I've already bought a license, $75. That's a lot of money to me in those days. And he said, well, I'll give you $75 back, pay all your expenses that you put out. You just come talk to me in New York. I didn't know whether he would or not. So I told him, no, I wasn't interested. So he hung up and he called me back in about 15 minutes. He said, would I come to Memphis and see him? His wife was going to have an operation on her ear. And would I come and talk to him down there? I said, I certainly would. So I went down and talked to him. He explained he had a plant. And he wanted to know if I could, as I had been recommended by several people as the best man to turn his plant around, that he was going to have to close it. 3,500 employees. A lot of money. He wanted to know if I'd come down there and work for him. And I told him, nope, that I like 2 years of having my 20 years in income, my retirement. So I wouldn't. He said, well, would you come down and look at it and see if it can be fixed? And I says, yes. So I went down through Thanksgiving. I had an extra day, looked his plan over, and I realized what was wrong with it. And I told him there's no problem, that I could change it over to make acceptable yarn worldwide. He wanted me to work. I said, nope, I'll come down in January. And if you give me some people, and I tell you exactly what I wanted, one-third of your plant on the shunt system. I gave him his acids, all the chemical concentrations, and I said, we'll start it off. And he asked me how much I wanted, and I quoted him a figure. He said, well, suppose you don't do it? And I said, if I don't do it, don't pay me. He said, fair enough. So then my wife said she wanted to come down. She said, bring her down. So I went down first 2 weeks in January. I got an extra day because of the holiday. And by Tuesday of the second week, I changed his plant over to the 20th century. I'd increased production. I'd increased strength and lowered his cost. He was well pleased. He said, would you go down to Argentina? I have a plant down there that's in bad shape. So I flew down to Argentina and started changing that plant over. I flew back up to São Paulo, Brazil, and made some final adjustments at that plant. And my 2 weeks were up, and I flew back to the United States, and I did not receive any money. Nobody was there on Saturday and Sunday. So I was worried, so in about a month, he sent me twice what we agreed on. Plus, he paid me as much to work, not to work for anybody else in South America, as I was making working here in the United States. And we had an agreement that I would go down to work for him when my daughter, Connie, got out of high school and went to college, which I did. And so I got his plants, all his synthetic fiber plants running good. So he wanted me to take over any plant that was losing money. Then I started in cellophane and others. Then I started getting requests to work for people over the world because I had a good reputation. So he says, I don't want to lose you. I will pay you your salary and you can keep your money you make for them as long as you don't work for anybody that's in competition with. So I worked around India and other places.
Just the places where he went, didn't have
a plant. He didn't have a plant. And so then I made enough money, I figured, in 10 years to retire. So I told him I was thinking I'd just quit. He said, "You're not working for anybody else?" I said, "Nope, I just quit." He said, "Okay." And luck was with me again, because he died about 3 months after I left. And I made a lot of enemies, because when I go into, I'm at 7 or 8 plants, his and other places I go into, you'd have to fire some of the top people. And I made a lot of enemies all over the plant.
It gets everybody else's attention.
That's right.